And we're back here in Alaska Homewise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. We're talking about wind power with Greg Egan of Remote Power. I hear that these systems can be noisy. Now, I'd imagine that that might be annoying to your neighbors. Are there quiet systems, or are they really that bad?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's a good thing to be concerned about. There are some wind turbines that are noisier than others. I kind of use the example of there are some sled dogs that have kind of a high screech, and they're pretty obnoxious to me. And then there and then there are other sled dogs that kind of have a low baritone kind of a howl and maybe a little woof every once in a while, and they're pretty easy, you know, on my ears, and I don't mind being around them at all. Wind turbines are kind of similar. A lot of it has to do with the tip speed, the speed the tip of the blades are going. And so you can look at different wind turbines at the specifications, and it'll tell you, gee, this wind turbine, its top, it's rated at its rated wind speed. Like, for example, it might say that it puts out 2,500 watts at 25 miles per hour, and the RPM at that point is 400 RPM. So you can look at that, and you can check that out before you buy anything. But in general, generally speaking, the more rugged turbines spin at a slower speed, they last longer, and they're easier on the ears. So that's a concern, and that's something you should be asking about before you buy.
Since we're in the Alaskan Arctic climate, are there any challenges to having a wind system way up here? Do you get ice stuck in it, or does it get too cold, brittle, anything like that?
Well, most of the materials that home-size wind turbines are made out of, we don't really have a problem as far as the cold. There's problems around Alaska with things like rime ice. Rime ice is when you've got, say you have a tower, and the tower's, you know, 20 degrees or 10 degrees, and some fog comes in, and it just grows ice. And wind turbines and wind turbine blades will grow ice. And when that happens, it'll throw the blades out of balance, and, you know, bad things can happen. In the dry, relatively dry interior, we don't have those kinds of problems. One thing that we check on when we're looking at a turbine is to see, is the turbine made in Canada? Do they have a lot of, customers that have got systems up in northern climes? Or is it an outfit that is manufactured in Arizona? And then you start asking the questions like, well, what kind of grease do you have in your bearings? You know, because we have actually installed a wind turbine one time that when it got cold, it didn't spin very fast, no matter how hard the wind was blowing. And so we had to basically take it down and put some cold weather bearings in with some Arctic grease, and it made a whole lot more power.
Now, what happens when the wind is not blowing? Can you still draw electricity? I understand that a lot of that probably comes from having a battery backup system or not.
Well, the systems that I'm talking about today are tied directly into the electrical grid, and they have an inverter that connects to the electrical system that your utility has. And so really, it's not a concern because, like for instance, right now at my house, I don't have a wind turbine, and I can run things on electricity. You know, I'm connected to the electrical grid. So if I had one and the wind wasn't blowing, it would still be okay. Off-grid systems are completely different, and they're quite a bit more complicated.
And I've seen some systems. I've seen some wind turbines go really fast. And it looks like it's just airplane taken off or something. Is there any chance I can get so much wind I could overload the system or break my turbine or anything like that?
Well, in the Fairbanks area, it's harder to do. There are certainly some places in Alaska where we get some incredible winds. And in those places, you want to be really careful what wind turbine you purchase, because you know, some of the turbines that would be okay in a milder wind environment will blow apart in a matter of days. And so what you do in an area like that is you don't buy the cheapest turbine. You probably buy the most expensive one that you can find, the most rugged one. And if you don't have enough money, you save your money. You know, you don't buy the cheaper one and hope for the best. So really, as far as having too much power in a high wind, the systems, they have ways. Some of them shut down, and it's sort of like a self-protection mode for the turbine. Some of them will, if they're grid connected, it's really not a problem because the grid will take whatever power, you know, you can throw at. I mean, if you have a 10 kW wind turbine and you're connected to, you know, a system that has, you know, hundreds of megawatts on it, it's not going to be a problem.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about wind turbines or wind power in general?
If you're talking about solar thermal, for example, there's rating agencies that rate all of the solar thermal panels so that you can compare apples to apples, okay? If you're talking about photovoltaic, so solar electric panels, there's also rating agencies, and they find out side by side, you know, how does panel A work, how does panel B work, and they publish that information for everybody. The wind industry is like the Wild West. There's no regulation, and there's lots of neat marketing, and you really have to be careful and try to consult as many, you know, experts and as many you know, good information sources as you can, because there's a lot of information out there, and a lot of it you even get some people who work for manufacturers who are sincerely ignorant about what they're selling, so they're very sincere when they market to you, you know, because they really believe their own hype. So there's an issue there. And speaking of hype, there are what you normally see is a horizontal axis wind turbine. That's, you know, you see it has a tail, and it has blades, and it's spinning on a horizontal axis. The vertical axis machines have been getting a lot of marketing here lately. And the vertical axis machines are the ones that they say you can put on your roof, and they spin on a vertical axis, kind of like the agitator inside of a top-loading washing machine, okay? And those really haven't been known to put out hardly any power at all. And I was just reading an article where they talked about a 10 kW machine that they were testing in Wisconsin that the most it had ever put out was 600 watts. So that's 6% of its rated power. And so I would be extremely careful of anybody who is trying to sell me a vertical axis wind turbine.
So where can people go if they want more information on wind turbines or wind power?
Okay, well, there's a lot of information on the web, and some of it is actually true. So you have to be a little bit careful on you know, what you trust. Sites like the National Renewable Energy Lab, like NREL.gov, there's good information. There's you know, a number of government sites that have some primers, you know, on, you know, talking about just the kinds of things that we're talking about today. If someone's serious about installing their own wind turbine, it would really be good for them to maybe check out Solar Energy International. They have really good classes, and again, it's, you know, it's serious business. There's electrical, there's construction, there's you know, you want to make sure when you put it up, it stays up. And if, you know, for most people are busy. For most people, they're better off probably consulting a professional and talking to that professional and finding out what kind of things that they can do. A lot of times people will say, you know, after they find out what's all involved, they may not be comfortable hooking up the electrical, but they can dig the ditch. And if you tell them what wire to put in the ditch, they'll do that for you. Sometimes they'll dig a ditch and they'll pour concrete and set the base for the foundation. You know, there's a lot of things to do. There's other things that they don't want to, you know, they say, hey, I don't want to be the one who stands the tower up. I don't want to be the one who, you know, designs the foundation. So a lot of times you can work with a professional and do some of it yourself and save money, but also get a good system.
That's all for this week's edition of Alaska HomeWise. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, you can email us questions at akhomewise@cchrc.org, and we will see you next week.
If you want to submit a question to Alaska HomeWise, email us at akhomewise@cchrc.org. We'll try and get your question answered on the air. For more information on HomeWise, including a schedule of upcoming shows, visit the UAF Cooperative Extension Service website at www.uaf.edu/ces or the Cold Climate Housing Research Center at cchrc.org. Save energy. Save money. Become homewise.